This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we welcome you to The New World Next Week, our weekly video series where we cover three big stories and hopefully give you the context and the subtext to do more research on your own and also kind of flesh out what we really see playing out in the world. James, there's always a hard time whittling down the stories that we want to cover because there are so many things. So in a way, we try and get the stories that shed a light on the bigger picture in these areas that we're going to cover. And I'll just mention that we're going to hit all three of my main websites. That's foodworldorder.com, cyberspacewar.com, and mediamonarchy.com. And of course, we want to mention newworldnextweek.com is where you can get the high quality downloads. Please share, spread, comment, repost, do whatever you want. This is all open source, alternative news, and that's what this is all about, which can get you into trouble, as we'll see from our first story, James. And we have not hit this story, and this does go back to last Friday, September 24th. And we're going to take it from a commentary from Jason Ditz, who is one of the head guys over at Anti-War. FBI raids, intimidation, not investigation. And this is on StarTribune.com. Early Friday morning, FBI agents backed up by SWAT teams in Minneapolis and Chicago and other cities began smashing down the doors of people's homes. The crime of those targeted was dissenting from the mantra of the endless warfare state. Anti-war activists from various organizations had their homes raided, their possessions ransacked, their computers stolen. Vague warrants accused the victims of material support of terrorism. Yet, beyond long-standing opposition to America's disastrous wars, there appears to have been no actual evidence against these individuals. No arrests were made. The FBI concedes that none are planned. And no charges were filed. This basically seems to have two reasons. The first is just a fishing expedition, just to see what they can scoop up in the vast net. And the other is, of course, the intimidation. These are folks who are, one, mounting protests for the 2012 Democratic and Republican, you know, those massive charades for the warfare state, the two-party system. So, of course, they're planning those, not to mention the elections we're going to have here in just over a month here in the States, the midterm elections. So this is a chilling effect. And again, this is more change we can't believe in. All of these things still go on and on and on. And I think to flesh out a little bit of the larger picture, that this is just one area that we wanted to focus on, these raids in Minneapolis and Chicago. And of course, there is a lot of other video and documentation on this story. But we also have the story out of Pennsylvania that broke in the last couple of weeks that has the Institute of Terrorism Research and Response basically spying on Pennsylvanian, you know, anti-warfare state activists, and gets into drilling and all types of other things. We also see, again, that more change we can't believe in, more legislation, Obama working on plan to wiretap the internet, as if, wink, wink, the internet isn't built as a massive wiretap. So, James, I laid out a whole lot of things there. Please, your take.
Well, this is not obviously very surprising for anyone who's been watching the unfolding police state for any length of time, but it does pose an interesting question, which is, given that generally we would expect the left to be up in arms about this, but given that they're all now zombies because Obama is in office, who is going to complain about these raids? I'm not really sure here, because it's certainly not going to be the John Stewarts or their followers of the world who are pleading for it to restore sanity, which apparently means not to criticize the government or its actions in any way. So I really don't understand who's actually going to complain about this.
I wondered if we were going to mention the Stewart Colbert left-right dog and pony show, and they're going to have their rally in the few upcoming weeks, and I'm sure James will have to get further into that as we approach what we see constantly, and it's only become more amazing as I've, you know, grown up and started to pay a hell of a lot more attention to all this kind of information, to see this fake left-right paradigm swing back and forth. One party's in favor, the other party's out, and it props itself up.
Yep, it certainly does. And that's exactly the point, isn't it? That we've just got a system that's playing itself off against itself, and that's exactly how it does stand on two legs.
Mm-hmm. So the last thing I referenced in just that whole swath of police state updates that make up our first story, I mentioned Obama working on plan to wiretap Skype, Facebook, and BlackBerries, which sources back to a New York Times article, U.S. tries to make it easier to wiretap the Internet. That takes us to our second story that is on cyberspacewar.com, Cyberstorm 3 tests U.S. on cyber attack. And we'll take this story from defensetalk.com. U.S. keyboard warriors were doing battle Tuesday. That would be Tuesday the 27th. Doing battle with a simulated cyber attack on government and private computer networks that undermines basic trust in the Internet. The Cyberstorm 3 exercise involves participants from 7 U.S. government departments, including the Pentagon, 11 U.S. states, 60 private companies, and 12 international partners. This biennial exercise being staged by the Homeland Stupidity Department and the first test of their new National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration System. All of your spooks under one convenient roof. Getting to the meat of it, briefing reporters ahead of Cyberstorm 3, Brett Lambeau, the director of DHS's cyber exercise program, stressed that the exercise, which is expected to last 3 days, which means we're still soaking in it, is completely simulated. We're not attacking any real networks. We're not taking down a network. We're not injecting any real malware. The thousands of participants in the exercise will receive more than 1,500 injects, or inputs, if you will, of simulated events that they will have to react to as unknown adversaries seek to exploit known vulnerabilities in cyber infrastructure. The international partners taking part in the exercise are from Australia, Britain, Canada, France, Germany, Hungary, Japan, Italy, Netherlands, New Zealand, Sweden, and Switzerland. So, James, before I throw this back to you, I'll just ask the question. With this talk of drills and putting false inputs and injects with what we see going on in the world stage, does this sound, I don't know, vaguely familiar?
I think I've heard this script before, yeah. No, it's more of this blue team, red team, wonderful idea of trying to get people to simulated attack themselves. And just sometimes it actually happens that during one of these simulated attacks, the attack happens. And it's just one of those things that you just have to accept as a coincidence, because what else can you do about it? This is absolutely just more of what we've seen, I guess, leading up to this point in the general cyberspace war, which is, of course, the coming virtual false flag terror that I think is so much on the cards, probably more so than these Mumbai-style attacks they're talking about now in Paris and London and all that. I think there's always the possibility for that type of event, but I would much more be on the lookout for some type of virtual false flag, and it will come through one of these types of drills, as it always does. So we have to keep our eye on this type of thing, and it's very alarming that they're now starting to do all these fake injects and things as part of their cybersecurity drills.
So included in this post on cyberspacewar.com, under the word injects, I've handed you a link to go over to historycommons.org so you can learn about the injects and inputs that were happening on the morning of 9/11. So the last thing we'll say is, if we quickly hop over to the Associated Press, and this is, you know, completely unrelated, Stuxnet computer worm attacks Iran systems, a powerful computer code attacking industrial facilities around the world, but mainly in Iran, probably was created by experts working for a country or well-funded private group. Nothing to see here, James. It's all a coincidence that drills are going on, and then the exact same thing happens to unfold.
Funny coincidence, isn't it?
Funny coincidence.
We'll just file that one away.
Private military industrial complex contractors have nothing to do with it. Rogue networks, not at play here. Let's move along and go to our final story on foodworldorder.com. And James, I'll just have to say that I think as time goes by, these really become the more and more important stories. And I think that's, we've been closing a lot of the New World Next Week episodes by covering these food-related stories, because as we've said, this is where our power can lie, and ultimately, and quite metaphorically and literally, this is how we power ourselves. This is how we're going to live. We're going to take it from grist.org, and I modified the headline because it's quite specific to where I am here in Portland, Oregon. Pacific Northwest grocery store setting up fake farmers markets. Without a doubt, farmers markets have got a good thing going, but unfortunately, sneaky copycats have been cropping up as they try to get their paws on the green that comes with that success. In June, Safeway supermarkets in Seattle set up a stack of fruits and veggies outside of their own stores with a sign announcing farmers market. The mangoes on display, however, didn't stack up with Washington weather and pressure from local groups such as WAFarmersMarkets.com prompted the stores to change the posters to read outdoor market instead. The grocery stores may argue what's in a name, but they know exactly what's in a name, a popular cash flow and something about important reconnection with how our food is grown, blah, blah, blah. Wall Street Journal takes note of the trend, quoting them, about 200 Albertson stores in Washington, Oregon, and Idaho. And again, these are going to be stores you haven't heard of if you're outside of the Pacific Northwest, but they're everywhere. 200 Albertsons, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, put up their own farmers market signs next to their produce stands. And again, it's another faker move. So just because you walk into a farmers market without a grocery chain backdrop, don't start feeling complacent because it gets worse. The farmers themselves may be serving you a side of local BS with their Bracco lies, according to a recent investigation in Los Angeles, and we'll link you over to NBCLosAngeles.com, false claims and lies caught on tape at farmers markets. James?
Well, I guess it's easy to dwell on the negative here, but I would prefer to dwell on the positive, which is that it's obvious that the big chains have to try to emulate the farmers markets because the farmers markets are so popular and are becoming more and more popular, which is ultimately a positive sign. I mean, whenever we can get the chain stores and the big mega corporations to try to emulate what's going on at the grassroots, that means that we are winning the debate. And people are not stupid enough to fall for this. They know if you see a farmer's market serving mangoes in, you know, Oregon outside the supermarket, it's not a farmer's market. I mean, people are not that stupid. So ultimately, this is a positive story because it shows that we are winning the debate and we're moving things towards where we want it to be, just like on recombinant bovine growth hormone milk, which is now almost completely unavailable because the people said no.
I think you're absolutely right about the positivity of this, and I think it's also an interesting way to shed a light on that. In a way, this is just another sort of false flag activity, as we kind of see that false flag activities happen all around the spectrum. James, thanks so much.
Well, thank you.